Das Freiburger Filmforum stand vom 11. bis zum 13. Mai in Freiburg statt. Und am Rande wurden einige Gespräche und Interviews geführt. Eins hört ihr jetzt.
My name's Elise Laker. I'm a graduate of the University of Manchester and I have an MA in Visual Anthropology. And I've just been showing my graduation film called Behind the Wheel here in Freiburg.
And how you decided to take this topic? How you decided to take this region?
So I used to live in Kyrgyzstan for a year and a half, so I have an interest in Central Asia, and I really wanted to make a documentary there because it's a very, not much is known about that region, especially in the West. So, you know, for me it's very interesting, and there's a very interesting phenomenon where there's a lot of male economic out-migration from the country, and I was interested to look at how the impact this was having on women and families that stay behind in Tajikistan.
But, you thought you lived in Kyrgyzstan?
Yeah, I used to live in Kyrgyzstan, and then I returned to the UK to do my MA in anthropology. So that's really why I have an interest in that area, because so little is known about that part of the world. I started researching, you know, more and more what would, you know, make an interesting documentary. And I initially had the idea, actually, to work with the migrants themselves that go to Russia or go to Kazakhstan and make a film about that. But the more I did research, the more I saw that there was already films about this. Usually it's men that leave from all of Central Asia. Mm-hmm. I chose Tajikistan because, mm-hmm. So Tajikistan has the highest rate of remittances, mm-hmm. that contribute to their GDP. So I think almost half of their GDP, mm-hmm. is in remittances sent back from migrant labourers in Russia and in, mm-hmm. Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. So when I started researching this, I saw that there was, you know, already a lot of information about, you know, the issues that migrants face while they're abroad. So little studies had been done on the impact that migration has on the women and the families that stay behind. And, you know, the men usually can be in migration for 11 months a year. So in the case of Nagora, she hadn't seen her husband in 5 years. And what's happening is, because of the economic crisis, migrants are unable to send remittances back, or they're sending less money, and, you know, women can't survive, the families aren't able to survive on the money that they're sending. So what I found in Tajikistan was that women, you know, were starting to work. And they've always worked. I mean, in the Soviet Union they worked, but they worked in the market, in the cotton fields. And so initially I wanted to show that. But then what I found was that women were starting to do even what we consider in the West very male, masculine jobs. So I mentioned in the screening that I'd worked with other women, and I worked with two taxi drivers, and of which there are about 5 in the whole of Tajikistan. It was very new, you know, that we're seeing, you know, females working as taxi drivers. I worked with a bricklayer who made bricks, and, you know, even for us it's very masculine, you know, hard work. And also then Nagora, of course, who works as a car mechanic. And I found their stories really inspiring, the challenges that they face, and it was a great story to really film, and also to show the different physicalities that she really plays.
Just directly question to it. We have our prediction, like the, yeah. Muslim countries, and anyway, Muslim or not, women are just cultural, through the cultural tradition, very suppressed there, and they are also married very early, and not all the time they can choose the men. How it goes together, what you showed, and this mm-hmm. picture of us.
So, I mean, Tajikistan is still it's a very patriarchal society. I mean, you know, Nagora, she mentions all these challenges she faces trying to do the work she does. She gets harassed when she works as a taxi driver. But, I mean, I think when we, you know, look at, you know, the Middle East and Asia, and we think about, you know, Muslim women and empowerment, and that, you know, they're suppressed, I think it's a very simple way of looking at it. And I think that on one hand, you know, in one situation they may be repressed and suppressed, and you know, perhaps in front of men, but on in other situations they're they're very dominant. And I'll give you a situation. So I worked with one woman who's a businesswoman and an English teacher called Guzel. And she would tell me that, you know, when she was at home, she lived with her mother-in-law, and she felt really, you know, repressed. You know, she was at home. Her mother-in-law told her what to do. Her husband was away, so he wouldn't even have anything to do with it. If she wanted to, you know, go out with friends, then she would have to ring him for his permission, say she wanted to go to a party. On the other hand, she was also a working woman, and when she was at work, she assumed this whole new position. It was a position of dominance, of assertiveness. And so on the one hand she was repressed, but on the other hand she, you know, in another scenario she was very dominant. So I think it's too simplistic to think of people as being repressed or empowered. I think, you know, you have to look at it more in depth and in the different situations they're in.